You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The World Health Organization released a list of antibiotic-resistant pathogens on Tuesday. These pathogens are in need of research for new treatments. However, here in New Zealand, we are lucky enough to be safe from most of these bacteria for now. This morning I spoke with Senior Lecturer in Otago's Department of Microbiology and Immunology, Dr. James Usher, about what these pathogens are and where this list places New Zealanders.
Okay, well, a pathogen is a microorganism, which could be a bacteria, fungus, parasite or a virus that causes an infection in a host, such as a patient. An antibacterial resistant pathogen is a bacteria that is resistant to antibiotics, and that can range from common resistance that doesn't have any clinical impact. For example, penicillin resistant in Staphylococcus aureus, which appeared about 5 years after the emergence of penicillin, but we still have plenty of drugs that we can treat Staph aureus with, and they're usually predictably susceptible to drugs such as flucloxacillin, and it can range right through to multi-drug resistant bacteria where they're resistant to lots of different classes of antibiotics, which can make treatment extremely difficult. And that's really what the WHO's report is looking at, those bacteria that are resistant to multiple antibiotics that are difficult to treat.
Yeah, so the World Health Organization released a list of these. What is the significance of this list?
The purpose of the list is to provide guidance both to investors, government, pharmaceutical industry, researchers, as to what the priorities are, the top priorities are for research and development for new antibiotics. It should be noted that they haven't included TB in this list, and that they've already recognised that new drug development for TB is of critical importance. But in this list, they've identified those organisms which are of the highest priority for new antibiotic development, and it really targets investment towards those organisms.
So what does this mean for New Zealand in regards to this list?
So with regards to New Zealand, most of the organisms on the critical list are currently rare. However, they are much higher rate, much higher prevalence in other parts of the world, including some of our neighbours in Southeast Asia and particularly in the Indian subcontinent. And we're increasingly seeing incursions of these organisms into New Zealand hospitals in particular. There have been limited instances of transmission in New Zealand hospitals as well. So it's a growing threat. The Enterobacteriaceae that are resistant to third generation cephalosporins that are also listed as a critical threat, they're already increasing prevalence in New Zealand, and we're increasingly seeing patients who have infections, particularly urinary tract infections or bloodstream infections, that are much more difficult to treat because of resistance. While the problem with many of the critical organisms is more of an issue overseas, it's going to increasingly become an issue in New Zealand, and I think this document provides useful information to government and health research funders in New Zealand as to where they should be looking to support drug development.
So what role do you think globalisation plays in the risk for New Zealanders?
Yeah, so globalisation certainly means that we're not immune from high rates of resistance elsewhere. So if we think about, for example, the carbapenem resistance in both Enterobacteriaceae and also the other organisms such as the Pseudomonas and Acinetobacter, while these really have been rare here, they're very high rates, as I said before, in the likes of India. And people who go and have healthcare in these places, for example, there's a growing industry for people going to Thailand, for example, for healthcare procedures. They're putting themselves at high risk of getting colonised and infected with these organisms and bringing them back. So there's healthcare tourism. There's also tourism as a risk factor. If we look at tourists who go to India, a recent study came out showed that 75% will be carrying a third-generation cephalosporin-resistant Enterobacteriaceae in their gut upon return from travel. So that, with it being colonised, doesn't mean that they're sick, but they're certainly at risk of increased risk of developing an infection with that, such as urinary tract infection, or passing that on to other people. So other than travel, there's also, we're increasingly seeing food coming. A lot of our food comes in from overseas, and we don't currently know whether that carries resistant pathogens or not. Certainly there have been outbreaks of salmonella in other countries such as Australia that have been linked to imported food products, including fruit and vegetables. So I think we're certainly not immune to or protected by isolation anymore, as I think we're constantly being exposed to these things. And I think further research is required to identify what these potential vectors are into our community.
So I read a statement saying that some of these pathogens can be compared to the likes of Zika and Ebola viruses. How dangerous would you say these viruses are, and would you say this statement is accurate?
I mean, I think clearly Zika and Ebola pose global threats. I think they pose threats in a different way. Zika largely around the risk of transmission during pregnancy and birth defects, and there seems to have been a wave that has gone across the Pacific to South America. How that continues is uncertain. It's mosquito-borne. It's unlikely to, given that we don't have the vectors in New Zealand, it's unlikely to come to New Zealand other than in people who've travelled, and they're not going to pass it on. But it's certainly a global issue for those countries where they do have the mosquito vector. Ebola is clearly a massive risk in Africa, in the areas where the virus is present when there are outbreaks. But those outbreaks are often contained, and I mean, there've been outbreaks since the mid-70s, and the outbreak that we saw recently was unusual in its size, but it was largely contained in Africa, barring a couple of cases that turning healthcare workers that were seen in other parts of the world. So they're both major issues that require investment. Antimicrobial resistance is different. I think bacteria have much greater capacity these bacteria that we're talking about have greater capacity than either Zika or Ebola to transmit around the world. We're already seeing rising rates of resistance in New Zealand, for example. In Auckland 2015, over 7.5% of E. coli, UTIs. E. coli is the most common cause of urinary tract infection, such as a simple bladder infection or cystitis. 7.5% or more are resistant to a broad range of antibiotics, and making them very difficult to treat and possibly requiring admission to hospital. So I think antimicrobial resistance has a much greater capacity to have effects on places such as New Zealand, and has the potential to influence lots of other areas of healthcare, such as patients undergoing joint surgery with having prosthetic joints put in, or undergoing bone marrow or other organ transplants, or patients who are sick in the ICU are all going to be at greater risk for these infections, and it's going to complicate. As resistance rates rise, it does make management more complicated when patients do get infections.
So what can or should we be doing to ensure health safety for New Zealanders in regards to these pathogens? What steps need to be taken now that this list has been released?
Right, well, I think firstly we need to advocate or educate the public around the threat of antimicrobial resistance. We need to encourage research and investment in the development of new antibiotics. Importantly, we need to use the antibiotics that we have already more we need to use them prudently. So any antibiotic use, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate, is going to provide a selection pressure for resistance. But we need to try and reduce the amount of antibiotics that we're using by ensuring that we are using the narrowest spectrum antibiotic for the shortest period of time. We need to ensure we're not treating viral infections that, for example, if many upper respiratory tract infections really don't benefit from antibiotic therapy, but they're commonly there's pressure from patients for treatment. New Zealand doesn't fare well in the rates of antibiotic use. We are, I think there's 21 countries. They did a study of 29 European countries and looked at their rates of antibiotic usage across the country, and we would sit in the bottom 20% of countries that are using the most antibiotics. So I think there's significant room for improvement. I think there needs to be a push from government and district health boards to encourage prudent use of antibiotics and to fund antimicrobial stewardship programs to promote that both in the hospital and the community. We need to look, we need to maintain vigilance in hospitals for import of these cases and return travellers or in visitors to try and reduce the spread and of these organisms within our healthcare institutions. We need to have good infection control practice, such as washing hands, encouraging or making sure that there's good hand hygiene by healthcare providers, and also making sure there's good cleaning of facilities and isolation of patients who are colonised or infected with these organisms to try and prevent spread to other patients. And we also need further research as to how these organisms are getting into the country by other mechanisms, and focus on working out whether these antimicrobial resistant organisms may be coming in food is important, as we need to ensure that minimise the rates of increase in prevalence of these resistant organisms. But at the end of the day, bacteria are continually evolving. They're passing their resistance genes between each other. So we also urgently need development of new antibiotics and investment in development of new antibiotics so that we can try and stay ahead of the curve and have something to treat these patients with when people get sick.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.